Nowadays, just about every single person, unless you're really young or maybe really old, has within their possession a little device that they keep with them at all times called a cell phone, right? And I think just about everybody has one of those nowadays. Maybe some don't for one reason or another, but the cell phone is a very handy tool, and the smartphones are very handy because they're almost like little computers that you have with you, and you not only can you make phone calls, but you can check your email, you can text message other people, and then there's all of those wonderful apps that you can put on the smartphones. And an app is like a little program, a little computer program that runs on your smartphone. And what is really neat about these apps and these smartphones is that a lot of businesses now have decided to have their own app. And then you can take this app on your smartphone and say that you're at that business, and you can pull up this app at the business, and you might be able to then use the app to get some kind of discount on a product that you may be purchasing at the business. So, for example, McDonald's over here has an app. And the other day, my family and I were over at McDonald's, and we were having dinner there, and I pulled up the app, and it said $3 off of any order over $10 or something like that. $3 off. And so instantly then, you know, there, I could take that app and I could punch that $3 off and I could show it to the lady there, and they've got a little scanning device there, and you scan the code with the device and boom, $3 off just like that. And I thought, you know, that's really handy. I've been able to use my smartphone over at businesses in Texarkana to receive some kind of promotion or discount or something that that effect. And in essence, what I am doing when I use those apps is that I am applying what used to be referred to as a coupon, right? You remember coupons, and maybe there's still coupons today, and you can open up your paper and you can clip coupons out of your paper, or maybe you go down to the grocery store and they have coupons there that you can pick up from their flyers of one kind or another. And the coupon then is something that you can use to get a little discount on the product that you are buying or purchasing. But without that coupon or without that app, you wouldn't be able to get that discount. You need that app or maybe that coupon to redeem that particular amount from the product. And that's the word that I wanted us to focus on this morning, is the word redeem. The word redeem means to buy back. And with a coupon, we're buying back a little bit of the product that we're purchasing. Maybe we have a coupon for 50% off of the little Totino's pizzas that they have over there. And you can get 50% off of those Totino's pizzas, or 50 cents off would probably be more like it. And so you bring the pizzas to the checkout, and then the lady rings it up and says, okay, that'll be $5 or whatever. You say, aha, I've got a coupon right here, and I'm going to buy back part of this product with this coupon. And so the price is what it is. But then when you apply the coupon, you take that off of the price. You buy back part of the price of those pizzas. And then you pay for the rest of it with whatever money that you have available to you. And when I was a kid, my mother clipped coupons all the time. She had a little box, you know, she put coupons in. And excuse me. And she would go to the store and have all these coupons and save all kinds of money because of the coupons that you could clip and then buy back part of the product. Well, the word, that's pretty much the way we use the word redeem today. it's almost exclusively in relationship to coupons and buying back with these coupons or with our apps. We redeem so much money from the purchase that we make with these coupons. But in the ancient world, the word redeem had a greater meaning than just saving a little bit of money here and there. The word redeem was actually applied to people in that ancient day and time. When a conquering king would go into another country or city-state and he would conquer that land, or a lot of times, if the army was big enough, the city-state would just go out and say, "We surrender, do with us what you will." Then what the king would do is he would say, "I am going to set terms of redemption." You see, once the king conquered that city and it was agreed upon by all parties that he was the conquering king, the king basically at that point said, "I own everything now in this city," whatever it might be, including all of the livestock, all of the buildings, all of the people, all of the governors, all of the city leaders, everybody. The king would, the conquering king owned all of it. But then he would say, "And I'm going to set the terms of redemption." In other words, you people in the city, and particularly you leaders of the city, you can buy back everything in this city that you want to buy back by virtue of these terms of redemptions. And then the conquering king would say, "I need so many gold coins for the cattle. I need so many gold coins for the people. I need so much for the buildings," etc., etc., etc. And he would put a price on every single person's head. And of course, back in those days and times, they had different people in society of different status. There were slaves, there were free people, there were merchants, there were businessmen, there were farmers and all of that. And they would put a different price on all those different people. And if you were a free citizen, the price was higher than, for example, if you were a slave or something like that. If you were a farmer, the price was higher than, say, if you were a businessman or something like that, because they thought farmers were better than businessmen. But anyway, that's just the way they thought back then. And so being redeemed in that ancient society actually took on a personal note. It would be like putting a price on everybody's head in this building. Let's say that some person came up to this building today and said, "You know what? I have all these weapons and I'm taking all of y'all my prisoners. And if you want to," we would call it, you know, kidnapping today. But, you know, in that day and time, it was one nation versus another nation. And so, you know, you couldn't call the police and have them deliver you from that kind of thing. And so you just had to do what the one who conquered you said you had to do. And that was all that you could do about that. But it would be like that. Somebody coming up with all kinds of arms and saying, "Hey, this building is mine now. This property is mine. All the people inside are mine now. And if you want to have your freedom, then you are going to pay me so much money for each one of the people in this building. You're going to pay me so much money for this building. And you're going to give me that money so that you can have your freedom." And we would say, "Okay, well, we'll go ahead and do it," because we wouldn't have any other choice. It was either that or go into slavery. And that's the kind of dire straits. And you put your hand to your head and you think, that's horrible, that's awful. But that was the reality of that day and time when kings would come in and conquer city-states like that. They didn't have anybody to turn to. They couldn't turn to the federal government and say, "Hey, come help us here." You know, they couldn't turn to police or anything like that. That was just the way it was. And so when they talked about the word redeem, it had a very personal connotation to it. This, to be redeemed was to have freedom. To be redeemed was to be saved from this horrible, awful situation of going into slavery. To be redeemed was to be bought back so that me and my family could continue living a peaceful life. Redemption in that day and time was so important and a tremendous value to people. And to talk about it was a very serious business. Now, you may be thinking, I know where this lesson is going. You're going to be talking about redemption in the New Testament, and that's right. That's what we're going to be talking about. We're continuing our series of studies that we started earlier this year in answer to the question, why did Jesus die on the cross? And the answer that we're looking at this morning is this: to redeem mankind. Jesus died on the cross to redeem mankind. And I want us to really think about what it means to be redeemed and to think about how that relates to us on a very personal level. In Revelation 5 and verse 9, we read, and they sang a new song, saying, and they're saying this to Jesus, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nations. Redemption. Jesus has redeemed us. And when we look at this verse, it tells us several things about redemption. Number one, you've got to redeem with something. There's got to be some kind of price paid, or there's a cost associated with redemption. Redemption with something. But then also there's redemption from something. And these in this text, Revelation 5, 9, were redeemed from or out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. So we're redeemed from something. We're also redeemed to something. That is, we come out of one thing and we go into another. Redeemed to. And in this text, Revelation 5, 9, it says that Jesus has redeemed us to God. And then, finally, we're redeemed for something. And specifically, we're redeemed for the purposes of the one who has bought us out of the bad situation that we were in. So when we think about redemption, it's a so much deeper concept than, say, clipping coupons out of the paper and then going down to the store and buying part of pizza back with it. You know, this is a deep, deep concept in the New Testament that we really need to work on understanding more. And Jesus died on the cross to redeem us. And that's a wonderful thing. It's a tremendous thing. And we really need to appreciate it for what it is. So let's think about that this morning. Jesus died on the cross to redeem mankind. He redeemed them with a cost. He redeemed them from condemnation. He redeemed them to communion. And he redeemed them for consecration. And those are the four things I would like for us to think about this morning as we think about why did Jesus die on the cross to redeem mankind. First of all, we are redeemed with a cost. When we redeem something today, we go to the store and present the coupon. We've got to have that coupon. We've got to have something to use for the redemption. You can't just walk up there and say, oh, I'm redeeming a coupon, I don't have it with me, but I want you to take 50% off of this product. They're going to look at you and say, well, I'm sorry, but I just can't do that unless you have that coupon. You've got to have something with which you can redeem part of the cost of that product. And in the ancient world, it was also true. You had to have something with which to redeem those people who were conquered by that foreign king. And usually that was gold or silver or something like that. Maybe cattle, maybe some kind of livestock or something could be used in redemption occasionally. And so people were bought back with gold and silver, literally, that gold and silver was spent for the redemption of their lives. And that's exactly what Peter is referring to in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 18 and 19 when he says this, "You were redeemed, but not with silver and gold from your empty manner of living that you received by tradition from your fathers." In other words, your redemption isn't like the redemption that you received in old times when the conquering kings were rampaging out and they would pay silver and gold so that your fathers could be free from slavery. That's not the kind of redemption that we're talking about. Well, what kind is it then, Peter? He says, "But with precious blood of as a lamb without spot and without blemish." What blood was that that was paid for our redemption? It was the blood of Jesus. That is what we are redeemed with, right? The blood of Jesus. A price was paid for our redemption. And that was the most valuable price that heaven could pay for us. You may recall in the Old Testament that Moses explained to the people why they offered sacrifices, and God really explaining it through Moses, but then in saying, "You are not allowed to consume the blood." They were not allowed to consume the blood of those sacrifices. And why was that? Because he explained, he said, because life is in the blood. Life is in the blood. When Jesus shed his blood on the cross, he was giving his life for us. His life was in his blood. And that's the point. God gave the most precious thing that he could give to redeem us, and that is the life of his son, Jesus. We're redeemed with a cross, with a cost on the cross. And you were bought with a price, the Bible tells us. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20. And that price was the precious blood of Jesus. Why did Jesus die on the cross? To redeem us with a price, with a cost, his own blood. But also, redemption is from condemnation. There's a price that's paid, but the price that's paid is paid for a reason. You just don't walk up to somebody and say, "Here, I'm giving you some money to redeem." And they're going to ask, "Well, redeem what? What are you redeeming? What are you redeeming from? What are you redeeming to?" You just don't do that unless there's a purpose behind it, unless there's a reason for it. And the reason for our redemption is that we were in condemnation. Condemnation is a poor circumstance in which to be. When that conquering general or conquering king came into the city-state, that city-state was under condemnation. He owned it. He could control it. He could destroy it if that was his desire. The redemption then saved those people from condemnation. In Galatians 3 and verses 13 through 14, Paul explains to us that under the law of Moses, we were under condemnation. Because the law can only condemn. And he said in Galatians 3 and verses 13 and 14, he says this, listen to this word, "Christ has redeemed us." From what? From what has he redeemed us? He's redeemed us from the curse or the condemnation of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." Now, why did he do that? Why did he become a curse for us? Why did he redeem us from the curse? Paul explains, "That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive this promise of the Spirit through faith." You see, Christ suffered condemnation for us so that he might redeem us from condemnation, so that the blessing of Abraham might be ours. And what blessing is that? It was the blessing that God gave to Abraham, that in thy seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. We're blessed through Jesus. We are redeemed from the curse of the law. We're redeemed from the condemnation of the law. We're redeemed from the devices of Satan. In Colossians 1 and verses 13 and 14, we read that He, that is Jesus, has delivered us or redeemed us from the power of darkness, that's Satan, the power of darkness, and conveyed us, that is placed us, into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom, that is in Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins. We're redeemed from sin. We're redeemed from Satan, the power of darkness. We're redeemed from the consequences of our own sins, even. We're redeemed by that, from that, by Jesus and by His blood. In Titus 2 and verse 14, we read, "Who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous of good works." Do you see what it says here in this text? That He, that is Jesus, He gave Himself. He gave His life. He gave His blood. He gave Himself so that we might be redeemed. And what were we redeemed from? Every lawless deed. We're redeemed from our sins. And what did He do to us? He purified us so that we could be His special people. So we're redeemed with a cost. That is the blood of Jesus. We're redeemed from condemnation. The condemnation of the law, the condemnation of Satan, the condemnation of our own sins. But that's not the full picture yet, you see. There is something that's paid for redemption. There's something we come out of when we're redeemed. But there's also something that we go into. We're not just redeemed to just then, say, okay, here I am in limbo land, happy-go-lucky, nothing to do. No, that's not the case at all. We're redeemed to something else. And those in the ancient times who were redeemed for their freedom, to their lives, to their families, to their homes and their livestock, their possessions. They were redeemed to all of those things to be able to continue their lives in a peaceful way. And we're redeemed to something as well. We're redeemed to wonderful and beautiful communion or fellowship in Christ, with God. You see, that's what redemption made possible in the ancient world, was that ongoing communion, that ongoing fellowship with your family and with your city and with all the business transactions that you made and all of that. If you were not redeemed, then guess what happened? You went into slavery. You were separated from everyone that you knew. You were separated from your family. You were separated from your people. You were separated from your home and from all your possessions. And so to be redeemed is to be redeemed back into that wonderful, loving communion and fellowship of society. And we're redeemed to that as well today. It means being in communion, first of all, with the One who redeemed you. And how thankful would you then be to your city rulers, for example, in dipping into the coffers of the city to pay for your freedom? I would be so grateful. I would think, thank you so much for preserving my life and not letting me go into slavery. And I know you would feel that way as well, if such were to happen. Well, when we think about redemption today, do we think about the wonderful and beautiful opportunities that we then have to have fellowship with one another and communion with one another and with God and with Christ, the ones who have redeemed us? I hope that we do. Going back to the passage that we read earlier in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, you can get a little sense of why these people are singing these praises for Jesus and why that they're so happy and joyous and grateful for what He has done. Think about that situation, that circumstance of being redeemed, and now you have your freedom back, you have your family back, you have your home back, you have everything that you worked so hard back. And it's not going to be taken away from you because you've been redeemed. Wouldn't you turn to the one who has redeemed you and say, you are worthy. You are worthy. You have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation and have made us kings and priests to our God and we shall reign on the earth. What a wonderful exclamation of praise that is. Because we understand now what redemption really means. It means freedom. It means having the ability to love those that we want to love in our families, in our communities. We're redeemed to God. You're bought with a price. Yes, I've been bought with a price, and that's a good thing. And because I've been bought out of this slavery, out of this condemnation, out of this horrible circumstance, because I've been bought out of that, am I going to glorify God in my body? Well, yes, I'm going to glorify God. Why is that? Because I've been redeemed, and redemption is fantastic. When we read in 1 Peter 1 and verses 18 and 19, you haven't been redeemed with corruptible things, with silver and gold, from that empty manner of life, but with precious blood, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish, which is even more valuable. We just add praise on top of praise for what God has done for us in redeeming us out of that horrible situation. Redeeming us to Him. Redeeming us to His Son, Jesus. Redeeming us to His kingdom. Colossians 1 and verses 13 and 14, we looked at that a minute ago. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and done what? Conveyed us or brought us into what? Into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption. You see, we've been redeemed to His kingdom. And the only reason that we can sit here today and have fellowship with one another, the only reason that I know Justin or Russell or Daryl or Juan East or anybody out there and have the wonderful fellowship that we have together and that we can later on go back into the building behind us here and have lunch together and enjoy one another's company and have a good time with one another. It's because of Jesus and the families that we have, our wives and our children, the blessing, the peace that we have in those families, it's because of Jesus. It's because He has redeemed us. If Jesus hadn't been in our life and redeemed us, where would we be right now? We wouldn't be here. I can tell you that. We wouldn't even necessarily have the same families that we have, necessarily. We might, but we might not. You see, Jesus makes a tremendous difference in our lives, a real difference. And to be redeemed is to be redeemed to something. To love and to fellowship, to grace and to mercy, to forgiveness, to relationship with God and Christ and to His kingdom and a beautiful relationship with one another. Yes, we're redeemed to communion. Why did Jesus die on the cross? For all these reasons. And we're redeemed, finally, for consecration. One thing that we lose today in our sense of the word redemption is purpose. Purpose. We kind of get it in a way, I suppose, because if you take that little 50-cent coupon for Totino's Pizza, right, and you take it over here to the grocery store, And you turn that coupon in and you get the pizza, you get that 50% off and you're happy because you save 50 cents. But really what has happened? What has taken place? That little coupon, that little piece of paper, its purpose has changed. The purpose now has been moved to something else. Its purpose isn't anymore, after you redeem that coupon, its purpose anymore isn't to save you that 50 cents. Its purpose has been moved into what you have purchased. And so now the purpose is the pizza. It's a different purpose now, right? Do you see what I'm saying? you redeem something, when you redeem something, you change its purpose. And that's the concept that I don't think we often think about that much when we think about redemption. You see, in the times of the Bible, to be redeemed was to change your purpose. Was to change your purpose. When Alexander the Great moved through Asia Minor and conquered all those city-states, their previous purpose was to serve the Persian Empire. Okay? With a guy named Xerxes, who was on the throne. Xerxes is a character mentioned in the Old Testament, by the way. Xerxes. Their purpose was to serve the Persian Empire. But when Alexander the Great came through and he conquered those cities and then those people were redeemed, their purpose changed. Their purpose was no longer to serve the Persian Empire. Now their purpose was to serve Alexander the Great. And we are redeemed for a purpose as well. And that purpose for which we are redeemed is consecration. You see, redemption means having a new purpose. Look at Titus 2 and verse 14 again here. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed. See, that's the old purpose. We serve lawless deeds. But what's the new purpose? And purify for himself his own special people. Zealous for good works. That's the new purpose. Now, instead of serving those lawless deeds, we've been purified so that we can be zealous for good works. We've got a new purpose. We've been redeemed for consecration. And what is that purpose that Jesus defines for us? It is to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and it is to love our neighbor as ourselves. Matthew 22, 39 and following. It is to do those good and loving works in our life. For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then listen to verse 10 here in Ephesians chapter 2. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Our purpose has changed. Our purpose is to no longer serve sin and Satan and self and lawless deeds, but our purpose is now to serve God and Christ and one another by doing good works. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of the living God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual purpose. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Service, love, fellowship, communion, joy, peace. We've been redeemed to that new purpose. Why did Jesus die on the cross? So that we could be a new creation in Him through redemption. We're bought with a price. We are bought from condemnation to salvation. We're redeemed to communion, to fellowship and love. And we're redeemed for consecration, to have that new purpose so that we may pursue good things in our life. What a wonderful concept redemption is. And spiritually speaking, if we're Christians, we have been redeemed. And what a wonderful situation we've been redeemed into. And I hope that this morning, as we've thought about this subject, you can really see why those in the New Testament praise Jesus for the wonderful redemption that they have. And hopefully, even though in our society today, that word redemption doesn't mean quite as much to us as it did to them, but we can get an inkling of what it did mean, and then we, in understanding what it meant for them, can appreciate so much what it means for us today to be redeemed. Why did Jesus die on the cross? To redeem mankind. And you can be redeemed this morning through Jesus' sacrifice as well, by hearing His gospel and believing it. and repenting of your sins and confessing Jesus as the Christ and being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, where the blood of Christ is applied to your life. And in going down into that watery grave of baptism, the old man is buried and a new creature comes up. A redeemed person comes up. The old man of sin is done away with. Those lawless deeds are behind you now. And what is in front of you? A new purpose. Redemption. You've been redeemed at that point to a new purpose. A new life. And to love and peace and fellowship with God and Christ and one another in Him. Do you need to become a child of God this morning? We will help you do that. Do you need the prayers of the church to really understand and apply the blood of Christ to your life so that you can live for Him each and every day in praise and love and thanksgiving for the wonderful things that He has done for us? Why not be redeemed this morning and do that while together we stand and sing?